Lord.
Previously, in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, the day of Craig's birthday party arrived, and Christine proved a tower of strength in helping with the food. That evening, we met the dreaded Auntie Margaret with her ghastly Kelvinside accent.
Craig was annoyed with himself for feeling fractionally uncomfortable. Auntie Margaret and Uncle Arthur were the kind of relatives they saw only on special occasions, like Christmas, weddings and funerals. Thankfully, his father had never insisted on seeing them more than that. It was now 3 years since he had talked to them briefly at his farewell party before going off to the Air Force. He was just a boy, not long out of school then, and was always treated with patronising smiles and questions. But so much had happened in those 3 years that he felt a completely different person. Would they accept him now as a man? Uncle Arthur was the first to arrive in the room. Craig immediately noticed how much thinner he was, wearing what was probably the same three-piece suit he wore at the farewell party. But now it was hanging on him, and there were deep indents on his cheeks. "Oh, there you are, my boy. Happy birthday." He dried up completely and stared at Craig, open-mouthed. "Good heavens, has Mother not prepared them for the skin grafts?" Craig filled the gap with, "Good to see you, Uncle Arthur. Or may I call you Arthur now?" There was no answer, so he held out his hand, which his uncle took like an 18th century swain touching the white kid glove of a duchess. "It's okay, Uncle, it doesn't hurt any more." "I'm glad to hear it. Thank the good Lord for that." No Kelvinside accent from him. His next words were spoken looking at the mantelpiece photographs of Craig in his uniform, as though he preferred to remember him like that. "So, how does it feel to be back in civvies? I'll bet you're glad to be out of that lot." "Not really. I'd have loved to help finish this bloody war by shooting down a few more Jerrys." He noticed Arthur flinch, almost imperceptibly, at the word bloody. "Oh, God, he's as narrow as she is." "I'm sure you would, son. But they Jerrys were called up same as you. And they're all somebody's sons, too. You don't dare think about that when you're firing at them." "I dare say not. And I'm sure the one that did this awful thing to you thought the same way." Craig could hear Margaret loudly holding court in the hall. "For Pete's sake, hurry up, Mum. I need some family support here." Never was a silent prayer so fervent or so quickly answered, except that it was his aunt who made her big entrance, intoning liltingly, "Home is the sailor, home from the sea." Pippa intervened with a twisted grin. "Except that it's home is the airman, home from the air. Doesn't sound the same, does it?" "Ach, but it means the same." She gave one of her little rippling laughs, turned round, then stopped dead, as though another step would have crashed her into a brick wall. "Oh, my God, just look what they've done to you, son." Craig had often wondered why this childless couple insisted on calling him son. She hadn't finished. "That's a crying shame. You were so handsome too." He noted the past tense. "Ach, never mind. There'll be a shortage of men after the war and plenty plain lassies who'll be glad of you. So you'll be all right." "Have you ever thought of joining the diplomatic corps, Auntie Margaret?" Craig asked straight-faced. Pippa burst out laughing, glad that Craig could see the funny side of this stupid woman's crass remarks. Margaret looked at her sister-in-law for explanation. "What does he mean, diplomatic corps? Is that not for people who are attached to the government?" "It's just a wee family joke, Margaret. Never mind." She seemed to accept that explanation as she turned back to Craig. "Well, anyway, there's your present." And Margaret handed Craig a small box wrapped in brown paper. "No fancy wrapping paper these days, but I think you'll appreciate what's inside." "Thank you, Aunt Margaret, and you too, Uncle Arthur." She gave a nod towards the package, indicating he should open it. He uncovered a leather case and found himself looking at the gold Hunter pocket watch that used to belong to his father. Craig was astounded. "But, Auntie Margaret, where did... It was my father's watch first, and your father's after that. But your mother gave it to me as a keepsake after your father died. I thought you should have it now." "You're right about me appreciating it. I do, very much." For reasons he found hard to understand, unspilled tears, which only his mother saw, pricked behind his eyes as he managed to give his aunt a swift peck on the cheek. "I don't know how to thank you." "No need to. It's yours by birthright. I thought of putting it in my will, but your 21st seemed a better time to give it to you, in case you died of your wounds. But, nasty as they are, I don't think they'll be fatal. I sincerely hope not." Very quickly, Pippa interrupted. "Would you believe I've got a bottle of sherry? Bristol cream? That's your favourite, isn't it, Margaret? Oh, my! Where did you get hold of that? Not on the black market, I hope." A woman gave it to Stan when he'd helped her after she'd been bombed out in Clydebank. He happened to be the one who led her out of her bombed house and carried her baby to safety. That was her thank you. Wasn't that a lovely thing to do? That's why I've kept it ever since. But it deserves to be opened tonight. Eh, poor Stan. You'll never see the like of him again. He would have gone into the forces and become an officer if he hadn't had flat feet. Actually, it was mild diabetes, not flat feet, Pippa corrected. Well, don't tell people that. They'll think it's because of your cooking. Dropping her head, she muttered, "Of course it might have been." Then glancing over at John. "Mind you, he wasn't in a reserved occupation at some fancy ministry." John didn't rise to the barb, just smiled and said, "Well, someone has to keep the country going." "He was a right good brother to me," she continued. Pippa smiled blandly, knowing her husband had avoided his sister as much as he could. "And a wonderful husband to you. I'm sure you'll never forget him." "No, I won't, Margaret." "An irreplaceable man. God rest his soul." And she blessed herself. "Oh, my God, how can I tell her about David?" The thought had no sooner crossed her mind than the doorbell rang and Pippa gave a nervous jump. "That'll be Craig's friends," she said a little too loudly, and for the second time that evening scampered out of the room. "Well now, Auntie Margaret, let's get that sherry Mum promised you," Irene offered, since Craig's thoughts seemed to be elsewhere. "Uncle Arthur's ahead of you." She nodded in the direction of the no longer portly little gentleman, seated in the comfortable chair by the fire, gulping down his beer. "That would be very nice. Thank you, dear." She turned and her sweet smile disappeared as suddenly as it had started. "Arthur, get you to that seat." The Kelvin side accent forgotten. "You know fine it's the one I prefer." Said as if she were a regular visitor. Arthur immediately did as he was told, with an apologetic, nervous little laugh. "Sorry, Maggie. Pardon? I mean Margaret." Irene had joined John at the drinks table, and they were having a subdued giggle as Irene poured Margaret sherry and John poured for themselves. Irene approached the dreaded aunt with her drink in one hand and her own in the other. "There you go, Aunt Margaret." To Pippa's great relief, Kevin, Christine and David were standing on the doorstep together. It would be easier introducing all three at once without having to single out David.
Thank you.